بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to hadith number 92 of this blessed book, عمدة الأحكام. And who will read this hadith for us?
Narrated Abu Maslama Sa'id ibn Yazid al-Azdi radiallahu anhu, saying, I ask Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu.
Abu Maslama is not a companion, so we may say, may Allah have mercy on his soul.
May Allah have mercy on his soul. Narrated Abu Maslama Sa'id ibn Yazid al-Azdi, may Allah have mercy on his soul, saying, I ask Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, whether the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had ever offered prayer with his shoes on. He replied, yes, Al-Bukhari.
Okay, this hadith indicates one of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that a lot of the Muslims have abandoned, thinking that it is best, it is perfect to pray without your shoes. Now, if you see someone praying with his shoes on, what would you think of him? Seriously. You would think that he's lazy, why is he doing this? Unknowing that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to pray while wearing your shoes, while wearing your sandals, while wearing anything on your foot, as long as you have been originally wearing it. Not if we are in the masjid without shoes and the prayer is being called, we go out and wear our shoes and come back, no. And it is a sunnah because the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, pray in your sandals or pray in your shoes, because the Jews and the Christians do not pray wearing their shoes. And we know that Musa, peace be upon him, before he was admitted to At-Tur, Allah told him, take off your shoes. You are in the holy valley of Tur. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. And he was instructed to take off his shoes. So it seems to me, I'm not an expert in Judaism, but it seems to me that it is part of their religion to take off their shoes when they pray. Now whether they're practicing this or not, it's an issue of, yani, not related to our topic. So the Prophet told us and instructed us to pray in our shoes. Not only that, Anas ibn Malik, when asked, he said, yes, the Prophet ﷺ used to pray in his shoes. Not only that, we have an authentic hadith where the Prophet ﷺ once led the prayer in the masjid wearing his shoes, and all the companions were wearing their shoes. In the middle of the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ took them off, and all the companions in the middle of the prayer took it off. Look at how far they go into following each and every step of the Prophet ﷺ. Why did they do this? Because they love the Prophet ﷺ. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, his companion says, I traveled with Ibn Umar from Mecca to Medina. And on the way, he dismounted his ride and went to a certain position or location, pretending to be answering the call of nature, but he did not answer the call of nature. He just lifted his thobe or his garment as if he wants to answer the call of nature, and then he came back to the camel and continued traveling. So his companion said, Ibn Umar, what are you doing? What was that? He said, I traveled with the Prophet ﷺ once, and in the same position, he stopped and urinated and moved. So I wanted to follow his sunnah, though I did not have anything to do. Look at the degree, of course, this is not advisable for us to do, because sunnah is divided into two types. Sunnah, when we say sunnah, it is divided into two types. The first type is known as sunnatul ibadah, or sunnah ibadiyah, sunnah that is related to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning that if you do it, you are rewarded. If you don't do it, you don't have a sin, depending whether it is mandatory or recommended or not. An example, if a person prays two rak'ahs before dhuhr, he's offering a sunnah. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ offered it and he instructed us to offer 12 rak'ahs per day. Among them, these are these two sunnahs. If someone performs umrah, he's rewarded, and we say that he has followed the sunnah. Why? Because this is what the Prophet instructed ﷺ. If someone grows the beard, we say he's rewarded because he's following the sunnah. But is it a sunnah or mandatory? It's a sunnah in the general terminology, which means that it's something that the Prophet did. But regarding the five rulings that apply on all forms of our life, whether it's mandatory, highly recommended, permissible, highly not recommended, or forbidden, these are the five things or the five rulings that must be applied. So when we talk about the beard, is it sunnah, which means that you're rewarded if you do it and you're not sinful if you don't? The answer is no. It is mandatory to grow the beard, and shaving it by the consensus of all scholars of Islam is forbidden, and it's a sin. So we go back to the issue of sunnah. The sunnah is divided into two types. Sunnah ibadiyya, meaning that you're rewarded, and we've covered this, right? And there is sunnah aadat, sunnatul aadah, meaning that it is related to the customs of the Arabs, and the Prophet did it alayhi salatu wasalam as part of the customs of the Arabs, such as Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to eat sitting on the floor, never sat on a table. Does this have to do with halalul haram? Or if I sit on the ground, I'm more rewarded than if I sit on the table? No. Eating with the three fingers, this is part of the customs. If I eat with a fork or with a spoon, there's nothing wrong in that. Riding a mule to work. The Prophet ﷺ used to ride a mule when he traveled throughout Medina. Is this a sunnah that I'm rewarded for if tomorrow morning I go to my work in my company riding a mule? Of course not. The Prophet used to wear what is known as izar and qamis. I think you have qamis in your language. But izar is like what we call futa, or we call wizra. I don't know what they call bungee. Something like this. So anything that you wear on your waist that covers your lower part, like an apron or whatever, it's called izar. So someone wears it now and goes to the office or goes to travel, we say that this is not right. Everybody's looking at you. He said, no, this is a sunnah. He said, no, this is not a sunnah. You're not going to be rewarded for it because the Prophet had done it, alayhi salam. Because the Prophet had done it because it is the customs of his tribe, of his people, of his time, and time changes. So always be careful regarding the sunnah that is related to ibadah and the sunnah that is related to adah. If people nowadays, people say, you have to wear a cap. You have to wear a topi so that you can pray. Why? So the sunnah. And the answer is, again, there is nothing in the sunnah that says if you pray without anything on your head, your prayer is invalid or it's not recommended. There is nothing in the sunnah that says if you wear a turban or you wear a hat or a kufi, then mashallah, your prayer is excellent or perfect. Nothing. And therefore, it depends on the people. And here we know the innovation that comes in. I've seen a lot of the brothers in different parts of the country. They don't wear anything on their heads. But the minute prayer comes, they take a small cap and they put it on. And they're wearing trousers and t-shirts and suits. What does this cap has to do with your clothes? It is not related. He said, no, we're not saying that it is related to Islam. But it is a form of identity. And this is a different issue. If you consider it as a form of identity, it's up to you. You wear a tag, you wear a name tag, you carry an ID, you put your topi on, up to you. But it has nothing to do with Islam or halal or haram, or it adds value to my good deeds. The funny thing is, when people don't have something to cover their head, what do? They bring their handkerchief and they put it and they tie it in a strange, awkward way, only for prayer. Who said that this is part of Islam? Don't you see that the muhrim, the one who goes for umrah and hajj, does not put anything on his head? And he is getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have to differentiate strongly between the sunnah of adah and the sunnah of ibadah, so that we do not mix apples with oranges. So the Prophet ﷺ used to pray in his shoes. And the hadith I mentioned earlier, when the Prophet prayed with his shoes and in the middle of prayer he took them off, and this is what led us to this long diversion of the topic. The companions immediately complied. He took it off, we take it off. He puts it on again, we put it on again. This is the sunnah. After the Prophet ﷺ finished his prayer, he asked them, why did you take off your shoes? Now one would ask, how did the Prophet know? The Prophet ﷺ is been granted a miracle from Allah that he sees what's happening behind him. Does he have eyes behind his back? No, he doesn't have to have eyes behind his back. My car has, when I reverse, it has a camera. So it shows me what's happening. The Prophet did had this, ﷺ? No. The Prophet, ﷺ, Allah gave him things people cannot even imagine. Among the things that Allah had granted the Prophet, ﷺ, among the things to see, is what we will discuss, inshallah, right after the break. So stay tuned.